We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Can I please have roll call and determination of a quorum, please? Thank you.
Chairperson Kimbrough?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bonkowski?
Here.
Member Bagwell?
Here.
Member Erb?
Here.
Member Hastings? Member Smolensky?
Here.
Member Zantino?
Here.
Ex officio Member Rosenberg?
Thank you.
Quorum is present.
Yeah.
That's
all right. So, first on the agenda is if there's any agenda item changes, and so I'll bring it over to Dirt for discussion.
Thank you, sir. Staff is requesting that we swap 6B and 6C, and the reason is that it makes more sense to talk about Campo's Transportation Improvement Program and then follow that with the State Transportation Improvement Program.
All right, thank you. So we will do that as we move through the meeting here tonight. Next, is there any disclosures for the meeting tonight? Left side, none. On the right side, none. So that's the other meeting. Yeah, thank you. So none, no worry concerns there. So next on the agenda is public comment. If there's anybody in the audience who'd like to come forward for public comment, usually this is a point where you come for non-agendized items, but you can come forward now if you wish to. Or you have the opportunity during each item to speak for public comments. Anybody want to come forward? Seeing none, we have minutes to approve for the June 14th meeting. Do I have a motion or comments or changes?
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to approve the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization minutes for the June 14th, 2017 meeting with a correction to the approval date on the signature page.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And we're, minutes are passed. First item on the agenda is 6A, information only. The Nevada Department of Transportation will present their methodology used in selecting safety projects. Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm P.D. Kaiser. I'm the Assistant Traffic Safety Engineer at NDOT. And what else do we need to know? That's good enough. So what I wanted to do is talk probably a little bit more about our pedestrian safety program because we have really kind of refined the process for selecting those projects. And so they can see everything up there? Yeah. Up there. Okay, good. Okay, yeah, we can go to the next slide. So just a couple of precursor slides. You can see, if you can see that, it's the first year is 2010. We had 41 pedestrian fatalities. Last year, in 2016, we had 80. So it's almost doubled in just that short period of time. This is what we kind of consider epidemic, just because of the sheer numbers. I know the governor's a little bit, probably a little touchy about that, but because we don't want anything to be an epidemic in Nevada. But this is very similar to most every state in the country right now. I've been to several conferences where they were attended by most of the states, and they all have the same problem. I mean, it's... And they're all struggling with, you know, what do we do? What do we do with that? So, when we this kind of got started back in 2015, early 2015, as a result of a pedestrian fatality up on North Virginia Street, up by the casino up there, and it kind of resulted in a temporary signal being installed and so forth. But the silver lining that came out of that was that. Mr. Malfabon and the governor agreed to give us $10 million a year to address pedestrian safety problems. And so we really had to real quickly develop some ways to identify these locations, determine what was the best solution for these locations, and then determine what was the priority. And so we started putting together a list, had a long list of locations that included both up here as well as down south and other parts of the state. So why don't you go to the next slide. So this is back up one more. Okay, so this is the locations in the Campo area. We've got a location up at Lake Tahoe, Lakeshore Boulevard. We've got a location out here on Highway 50 out on the east side of town at the Silver State Drive, and then there's a location in Dayton out at by the casino out there as you're going out north of the old downtown Dayton. So those are current projects that are under design, pretty far along on the design. So just to kind of give you an idea, these were on the list that we originally came up with. So we're slowly going through that list, getting these implemented. So let's go to the next slide. So this is just a shot of, we created a booklet that has this whole process I'm going to talk about. You know, it's not a real thick booklet, but it's got tables and graphs and things in there, and I'll talk about those kind of individually. But we felt like we needed to have something that we could kind of get our teeth into and use and be consistent. That's the whole point, is being consistent throughout the state on how we do these evaluations. So we've made several modifications to this. I think we're pretty close to having a final for a while, so we'll be sending these out probably electronically to all the jurisdictions around the state for their use. The next slide is the a decision matrix. This matrix was originally developed by the University of North Carolina. There was a big safety study done kind of nationwide on pedestrians, and so these elements that are in this table, there's traffic volume, there's number of lanes, posted speed limits, all of this is kind of combined into this decision matrix. And so this is just kind of this is not necessarily the final solution, but it's just a way to get us pointed in the right direction on what we need to do. Most of the state highways, and I will say the money that we get from the $10 million that we get, the state gas tax money, has to be spent on state highways. So just so you know that up front. But most of the state highways are over here on the last three, the green columns, with the higher volume, higher speed. That's where most of the locations that we have dealt with kind of fall in that area. But the text down below the table just kind of goes into some of the different types of crossing treatments that can be considered and so forth. So probably the most popular right now is the use of the pedestrian-activated rapid flashing beacons. So where they're most of them on state highways, we have them mounted over the roadway, over on the side, and in some cases even in advance. So when they push the button, all of these come on at the same time. We use those because the research that has been done on those shows that you get pretty good driver compliance. That probably 85 to 95% of the drivers will recognize it, slow down, and stop if they see a pedestrian. So that's good. I mean, that's, you're never going to get 100%. We don't get 100% on our traffic signals. So we felt pretty good about that. So that's a good tool that we use. The next slide is the one of our evaluation forms. So this is basically where we go out and collect all the data, all the what's out there in terms of traffic control, some of the land use, you know, what, you know, sidewalks, if there are bus stops, so forth, those types of things. So that's kind of the next step that we do. And the next slide is what we call our selection matrix. I know it's probably hard to read the letters because they're small. But so once we had this list and we kind of knew what we wanted to do there, we had like, well, okay, which ones do we do first? How do we prioritize this? And so we actually found a very similar selection matrix up in the city of Seattle, where they really take a lot of things into account, land use and that sort of thing. When we did the initial kind of look at pedestrian fatalities around the state, one of the things that was interesting, we put all these dots on the map for 5 years, all the pedestrian fatalities up here and down south. And the most interesting thing was that it looked like you shot it with a shotgun. They were just everywhere. There wasn't like these big, thick groupings on these corridors or whatever. They were just everywhere. And when we started going out and looking at some of these locations, the most interesting thing was that most of these locations had really very little pedestrian traffic. And the key there is that the drivers didn't expect to see pedestrians. So they're not being, you know, watching, slowing down, or anything like that. And these are six-lane arterials, 45 miles an hour, posted speed limit. People definitely going much faster than that. They either had no lighting or very little lighting, and, you know, about 85% of our pedestrian fatalities occur at night where they're wearing dark clothing, whatever. And so we couldn't just say, well, we're just going to do something wherever we find a pedestrian fatality, because we just didn't have enough money to do that. But the other thing that we started looking into was the land use around these locations where we were having the fatalities or where we knew people were crossing. And we started finding these connections between, like, bus stops. Bus stops are problematic because people get off the bus. They don't always go down to the next intersection to cross. They just get off and run across the road in front of the bus. And a lot of fatalities that way. We also found problems with if you had a trailer park on this side of the road and a neighborhood bar on the other side, that was a definite better look at that, and or a casino or whatever. So there were certain land uses that we knew would attract people from, say, their homes or their residences over to where they want to go. It's a commercial site or whatever. So those, we kind of honed in on those and were able to kind of figure out where some of these crossing paths were. And so we have a number of locations that we're doing right now that have never had a pedestrian fatality or a pedestrian crash, but the potential is there and the exposure is there. And so you know, we don't want to wait until there's a crash. You know, we want to act and do something in advance. So this gave us kind of the ability to do that. We modified it from what they did in Seattle, but again, it was just a way to kind of give weight to. And instead of going out and counting pedestrians, because that's expensive to do that, you know, and you stand there all day and you maybe count five pedestrians. So we didn't want to rely just on pedestrian counts. We really wanted to look at the land use and figure out why they're crossing and those reasons for crossing. So this gave us the ability to kind of assign weights to them when they when we looked at these locations. So. Let's go to the next slide. So this is kind of our toolbox. This is things that we kind of can choose from for improvements, the crosswalks, type of crosswalks, the rapid rectangular flashing beacons, lighting. Lighting was a big issue, as I mentioned before, because majority of these are occurring at night. And we went and talked to our traffic operations folks and about the type of lighting. So the typical street light that you see out there, you know, that up and down the street, those are LED fixtures. They're 12,000 lumen fixtures. And we said, well, can we get more light? And they said, yeah, you can go to a 16,500 lumen fixture. And that's what we did. So that's what we use at these pedestrian crossings. So it really, to kind of really light up the whole crosswalk area. And so. You know, that's in almost every one of these locations we do. We have lighting. We've also got the refuge islands. We've done those wherever we can. We have curb extensions or bulb outs. We try to incorporate those where we can. That kind of just shortens up the walking distance for the pedestrian. We haven't done any of the lower right is the pedestrian hybrid beacon or the hawk signals. We haven't done those. They seem to be more applicable where you have more pedestrian volume. And so we think that we get, with the compliance that we're getting with the flashing, the rapid flashing beacons, the yellow, that we're doing, that's working pretty good. The next slide shows what we call the Danish offset. So when the pedestrian goes across, they have to make a right turn. And when they make the right turn, then they're facing the oncoming traffic so they can see what's coming. We're kind of forcing them to see what's coming. So we've done a number of those. We've actually done some very innovative things with those at some of the crossing points. And so and you can see the bulb outs and then the side-mounted RFVs. The next slide is, again, it shows the lighting. It shows how you can light up the crosswalk. And the fact that majority of people wear dark clothing anyway, and at night, you know, it just makes them almost invisible. We need as much lighting as we can get to light those people up. We're also experimenting with some, it's called bollard lighting. You have these bollards on either side of the crosswalk on both sides of the street, and it shoots the light out across the street rather than coming from above. And some of the research we've seen on that shows that it might have some potential to actually better light up the folks that are in the crosswalk. The trick is you got to get them to use the crosswalk. That's hard. It's hard because a lot of the fatalities that we see, they're not anywhere close to a crosswalk or an intersection or whatever. So, and one of the ways that we've tried to counter that is we have a project right now on Charleston Boulevard in Las Vegas where we're actually putting some decorative fencing in the median to discourage them from. And there was just in that section of Charleston, there was a lot of jaywalking, and so we've put in the fencing. We're giving them some of these pedestrian-activated flashers, you know, at some key locations, just to try to eliminate that problem. So, but the photo on the right, it's you can see our typical location where we have usually two or more lanes or higher speeds. We have the sign and the flasher out over the middle. There's one over on the pole, and then if it's a higher speed, 45 mile an hour or more, we also have one in advance, 200 or 300 feet in advance, and they're all connected, so they all come on at the same time. So, so anyway, that's kind of just a quick rundown of how we're doing those. As far as some of our other projects, we have the federal money that we get about $21 million a year. We do what's called systemic improvements. And systemic improvements is you kind of do a blanket application. So instead of trying to find the high crash locations or whatever, so a good example of that would be the flashing yellow arrows that you see at the signalized intersections. So we did as many as we could. We've done six or so, 600 or more of those around the state. And we were involved in a nationwide research on that application. We contributed our data and along with about four other states. And it showed that we had probably 35% to 36% drop in crashes, left turn crashes, as a result of using that. So another application would be out in the rural areas where you have these little streets that tie in to, like I say, a Highway 50 or something. We put a flashing red on top of the stop signs as they approach, because a lot of time in the past, people have just blown through the stop signs. So that's just another application that we do. So, you know, I wish we got a lot more money safety-wise, but, you know, it is what it is. And so, you know, we spread it out. But along, you know, in addition to we're getting the $10 million for the pedestrians, I think that's the first time ever that safety has gotten state gas tax money to do projects. So we're pretty happy about that. So we've gone through our list. The initial list had about 50 locations on it. We've done quite a few of those. The list will continue to get longer, you know, as we deal with the locals. And all of this stuff that you saw up here is not, we don't just make our decision based on that. We take that information, we go to the local entities and say, here's what we'd like to do. Give us your feedback. Because in a lot of cases, the locals know more about that road than we do, or about how it's operating. We also get input from the local law enforcement or highway patrol. So we're always out there kind of trying to get feedback from folks to make sure that we're putting our money where it needs to be. So any questions?
Any questions?
That's kind of a half thought and a half question, and it seems like there's potentially an opportunity to look at this as a public health kind of an issue. And is there money that goes towards anything other than direct improvements? And can you do advertising campaigns? Is there opportunity to link with public
health? So yeah, we do with the federal money. We do. There is money that goes to the Office of Traffic Safety in the Department of Public Safety. And they run the behavioral campaigns. They have a consulting firm or agency that develops ads, like for TV and radio and for billboards and all of that. So that's what you would call the educational side of what we do. We have our zero fatalities program where we go out into the community, you know, the schools. We have a table at every football game at UNR with all the zero fatality stuff on it. So there is, there's a fair amount of that, you know, that we do. I mean, we can't do it all with engineering. I mean, we have to have an education element. We have to have the enforcement element, the emergency response folks. And now we are working with the medical centers, especially in Las Vegas, where there's this whole wealth of information and data on, you know, crash victims that we never had before, and they're starting to make that available to us. So, and so everything, you know, everything we do is data driven. So, you know, we don't just wake up one morning and say, oh, by the way, let's go put one of these things in over here. So, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into collecting the data, analyzing the data, and then trying to make a good engineering decision with input from other entities. So.
Any other questions? I have a couple, actually. One of them, is there anything else? What came to my mind is what you talked about, the fencing. I was actually going to ask that might be cheaper than a blinking light and all of the infrastructure and the power. Like Mills Park here in Carson City has always been a concern because of the skateboard park and mm-hmm. all the events that take place there, and there's no crossings on that whole section right. across there. So I don't know how does Carson City get on the list? Like you said, you just talk to staff like once a year. Is the $10 million going to be extended? Is there hopes in the future for more improvements in Carson City?
We hope it'll be every year until I retire. Well, no, I better not say that. But, I think as long as we're showing that we're actually doing something and making some progress, yes, I think we'll continue to get the money. We're always open to locations. And again, I have to say, you know, it still has to be on a state highway. So as long as it's on a state road, yeah, we can assess that or whatever. You know, something like the Mills Park thing, you know, we might have to go out there and do some observation or do some counts or something like that. We do that occasionally, but we've tried to do what we call the low-hanging fruit, where we know we've picked these corridors that we know have had a fairly lengthy history of pedestrian crashes and fatalities. Good examples like Boulder Highway in Vegas that, you know, they typically 25 to 30% of all fatalities in Las Vegas or all pedestrian fatalities occur on that one road. So we're putting a lot of effort towards that. But, you know, we'll just keep working our way down the list and see. But all that initial list of 50 locations, they all had a ranking number, and we started at the top and, you know, kind of worked our way down. Some of them were easy to address. Some of them took a lot of effort. Some of them got very political, you know. So, you know, we have to work through all that, you know. So, and there's a lot of engineering judgment that goes into all that as well. So,
if Carson City was interested in Mills and it wasn't on your list, then it's certainly an opportunity to come.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just, you know, send us an email for.
Yeah, they're building a new apartments, I guess, right there, which would bring a bunch more kids crossing the street there, maybe. Yeah. So it's just process and how it works and how I like the way you guys have put together the rating systems and spent a lot of time on that, actually.
Yeah.
So thank you. Is there any other questions?
Yeah. Just based on the conversation that we just had, Unless I'm mistaken, I think the only state roads in Carson City after the South Carson transfer of the right-of-way will be on South Carson Street from Snyder South and on William Street, Highway 50 from the 580 East, and that's it.
I didn't know that.
There's pluses and minuses to what has kind of transpired over the last few years with that. I mean, it would be great if all the roads were yours.
Can we loan you a section of Highway 50 long enough to put the improvements in? And
well, you know, before Patrick left, we had some long discussions about, because I know he had a long list of things that he wanted to do, but, you know, none of those were on State Highway. And, I mean, it's like, well, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, those decisions were made some time ago, and so, you know, I can't change that rule. I mean, that was kind of a hard and fast rule that if it's state gas tax money, it's got to be spent on the state highway. So, and we've held to that rule with everybody, and so, you know, to be fair. So, but, you know, again, if there are some other safety countermeasures that we can apply using our federal funds, you know, then all roads are eligible with the state, with the federal funds. So,
front, this side, we're doing Stewart Street.
Okay, tell them about that. This is Lori. She's the one that runs.
I need to sign in, Lori.
She's the one that runs this program for me. So,
yeah, he says we. He means Lori. Lori Campbell, Traffic Safety Engineering. So, Patrick and Dirk came to us a while ago about a location on Stewart Street. That was a high concern. We ran it through the matrix, but it's not on a state street, so we are able to use federal funds for that. And what happens with the federal funds is it has to be prioritized, and like PD said, data-driven. So we were able to, not the first time it was requested, but we were able to get it on the list, so that'll happen. So a similar thing, Brad, will happen when we communicate with the folks here on locations that are a concern. We'll run it through that priority selection matrix. We'll get a number. If it's not on a state route that we can't use the state funds, we'll flip over to our federal funding and see where we can do it. And I promise you that the state funds goes faster than the federal funds, and that nobody's shocked about that in this room. But, you know, if you don't start, it never happens. So that's how we're getting this project. We're doing two crossings on Stewart Street between all the businesses and the mall across the street. And hopefully that with federal funds, that'll be out next year. So we started that a while ago. So that's how we'll deal with that issue. And that is exactly the communications that we've had with before Patrick and Dirk and, you know, and those folks, is that's how we deal with the fact that a lot of the roads in this community are not on state routes. Sure.
Any more follow-up? Seeing none, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, bring it back to, we're going to change the agenda. We're going to go to 6C. For possible action to approve Campos Federal Fiscal Year 2018 to 21 Transportation Improvement Program, the TIP. Is that you, Dirk, most likely?
Thank you, sir. So, yes, the staff's happy to present the 2018-2021 Federal Fiscal Year Transportation Improvement Program. Now, this is a federally required document. It is a four-year programming document, and we typically update it every year just to keep current and stay on top of our projects. Projects that are federally funded or are of regional significance are required to be in the Transportation Improvement Program. So you won't see all the projects that we're doing in Carson City on the list. The list doesn't have any new projects that we haven't shared with Campo or the, you know, with the Regional Transportation Commission, Douglas. We've also coordinated with Douglas County and Lyon County to get their projects incorporated into the Transportation Improvement Program. To highlight a few projects, we did go ahead and add the Transportation Alternatives Program grant funding that we received recently. Also, we added the Surface Transportation Block Grant funding that we recently allocated to South Carson Street. One project that's not in here currently, I believe, is the project on Stewart Street, but that's something that we will add in the future. I think we're still waiting on some of the details. But besides that, I don't have too much else to say, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Seeing none. Let me public comment, I guess, at this point on this agenda item. Nobody coming forward. Any more discussion, or do I have a motion?
I move to approve the Campo Federal Fiscal Year 2018 through 2021 Transportation Improvement Program.
I have a motion. Supervisor Bunkowski has a second. Sorry. Over chat. So any more discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. Thank you. Back to 6B. For information only, the Nevada Department of Transportation will present the current draft of the Federal Fiscal Year FFY 2018 through 2021 Statewide Transportation Improvement Program, which is STIP, S-T-I-P, and the 2018 NDOT Work Program.
Good afternoon. For the record, Joseph Spencer. I'm the STIP manager for the Nevada Department of Transportation. Some of the information I have to cover today has been covered by Dirk quite well, so thanks for that, Dirk. Every year, we go through a new process to update our work program and our STIP, and this is our calendar that we have. In the October-November timeframe, we start out with what we like to call the county workshops. It's where we go out to the counties and the various local public agencies and have conversations regarding what are your concerns. Now, we focus on a lot of things, whether it be transit, whether it be pedestrian safety, as was mentioned here today, resurface of projects, all sorts of things. After that, we bring a lot of that information back, and we put it through our prioritization process, as well as update any of the projects that we may have currently in a current STIP or work program. We then take out our drafts during the May-July timeframe. August worked, so here we are in August with our draft STIP and our draft work program, which will then be approved by the state and federal agencies during the September-October timeframe. Now, much like what Dirk said for your TIP, the STIP is also a federally required document for the state, and so that's the reason why we do that. At an MPO level, you guys do what's called an RTP, or your Regional Transportation Program. That is a 20-year fiscally constrained program of all your planned transportation projects. The first 4 to 5 years of your RTP tends to be your TIP, or Transportation Improvement Program. We at the state level have to incorporate your TIP, which you have just approved and accepted today, huzzah, into our STIP without change. So all of the information that is in your TIP goes into our STIP without change. We also include the other MPOs into our STIP, as well as the non-MPO sections. So that's everything outside of the MPO areas. We're in the process of working on a long-range plan. The FAST Act and MAP 21 Act before that requires the states to develop a long-range plan. So we take all of the needs and projects at the front of the plan, run it through our prioritization process, which we are in the development stage of this, which then becomes prioritized and funded. That becomes part of the STIP, which, if there's anything in your MPO, will be part of your TIP. So a lot of the information that you see in the STIP, you've already had the precursor of seeing it in your TIP. We're highlighting some of your projects in federal fiscal year 18 for you. Of the projects in the Campo TIP or in the STIP, there's about $1.2 million in transit funds and about $1.4 million in highway funds. You'll see that you have your Silver Sage project with STBG, the multi-use path, the Dayton Railroad Depot, and the Stewart Street pedestrian project that was mentioned, utilizing some of those HSIP federal safety dollars that made that project eligible for. Here are some of the 2019 project highlights that we have for you. A lot of the projects that we have are some roadway rehabilitation on I-580. I know you're thinking to yourself, didn't you just open it? But the section way down at the beginning where we first opened it years ago, it's time to give it a little love. So we'll be doing a rehabilitation on that. We'll be doing some work on US 50 for the Clear Creek project going up the Spooner Grange for some drainage improvements. That should be our final project along that timeline. And then the TAP projects that Dirk mentioned that were recently awarded through the statewide TAP application process. That concludes my portion of the presentation. Quick, sweet, and to the point. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
I think the poor audience has to go to an acronym class here to get the tip and the stiff and the stack and the...
Yes.
The E-STIP, yeah, that was part of the report, too.
Yes, E-STIP is part of the report, which I can demonstrate some of it if you're
interested. Sorry. We sit up here and hopefully understand that well enough to speak to that, so right. We worked very hard on that. It's doubled that up in the basin with CRPA involved sometimes.
Yes, I'll see you on Friday.
Oh okay. So, any questions I asked? There's no more questions. Anybody from the public want to come forward on this item? Seeing none, bring it back for any comments or a motion.
No.
Oh, it's information. Well, that made that easy. We'll move along then. Where are we at now? 6D? Yeah, 6D. Information regarding the availability of federal fiscal year 2017 funds for the Federal Transit Administration, Section 5310 and 5339 grant programs. This is on the transit side now. Right, Graham, it's your up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an informational item about the upcoming potential award of 5310 and 5339 funds, which is projected to be come back to you guys to CAMPO at the September meeting. The FTA recently released the remainder of the fiscal year 2017 apportionments for formula funds. CAMPO, which administers the 5310 and 5339 apportionments for small urban areas in Nevada, makes these funds available to eligible recipients. Applicants applying for 5310 funds must have a project with a purpose to improve mobility for seniors and individuals with disabilities, and applicants of 5339 funds must have projects to replace, rehabilitate, or purchase buses or related equipment, or to construct bus-related facilities. A call for applications has already been made public. That happened July 25th, and with a deadline to submit applications by August 25th. Any applications received will be brought back to CAMPO at the September meeting for consideration and possible award. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions? Informational, and anybody from the public want to speak to this? Seeing none, it's informational, so no action. We move on the agenda to internal communications and administrative matters listed here as future agenda items.
Thank you, sir. So next month, September, we plan on having an amendment to the Unified Planning Work Program. We need to move some money around to kind of make one of the tasks whole, I should say. Another one, we'll be planning to award the 5339, 5310 FTA grants. We should have an agreement with NUCP, which is the Nevada Unified Certification Program, which deals with disadvantaged business enterprises. And we should have, hopefully, a contract for services to do a survey on our pavement on the roadways. So that's all for next month.
What was that last one?
A survey on the – so every 2 years we do a survey of our roads, and the survey is actually doing a survey of the pavement. And so we will be doing that. We're getting the contract in line right now, putting out a request for proposals, and we're hopefully going to bring –
So this is for CAMPO?
For CAMPO.
For Douglas Line and – okay.
Yeah, mainly it is for Carson City Roads, but okay. It is through CAMPO. It's one of those type of projects that Carson City has requested.
All right. Thank you. Anything else, agenda? Okay, we're moving on quickly. Any board comments? I'll start on the right.
The freeway is open. Thank you all for participating. You know, those of you who made it out for that event, we're very excited about that. And for those who are interested, USA Parkway will be opening in September. There will be an event at the end of August, but the road will actually be open in September.
Great.
That's all I have.
A question for staff. I was just noticing on our tip that we had a public comment period and did not receive a single public comment, and yet roads is one of the highest priority items as far as complaints that we receive at the board level. So I'm just wondering if there's a better way, if there's a better way to get the word out to the public to try to get some input from the public on public comment.
There is, and actually we, depending on the type of issue that we have public comment for, sometimes we go above and beyond. Right now our public participation program kind of tells us that we need to advertise in the legal section. And as you might know, not too many people read the legal section. So depending on, like, for example, for South Carson Street, we went above and beyond. We did some, you know, quarter-size ads in the Nevada Appeal. We went to Carson City Now. So it just kind of depends. Historically, we usually don't get too much comments on the transportation improvement program. So in the future, we do have plans to update our public participation program. And when we do, one of the stuff that staff has talked about is getting rid of that requirement to put it in the legal section, at least to add some additional requirements so that we have more public visibility on those notices.
Dirk, is there a way to integrate the TIP public comment with the traffic committee? Since those are all the stakeholders in town, they should be able to network through or get the word out to their networks to try to generate some public comment. It just bothers me somewhat that if roads are one of the issues that people care about most, and we have a public comment period to get input to prioritize the projects that we're going to be working on or trying to get funded, and we're not getting any comments, then obviously it seems like we're not reaching the public to let them know. So it seems like that might be a good group to bring in to maybe get the word out.
Comments? No more comments. This is the last chance for the public to come forward. If there's any other items they wish to come to the front of the board to speak to, seeing none. The next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, September 13th, here at 4:30. Now I call for a motion for adjournment. Moved. We are now officially adjourned. Thank you. We'll start at 5:15 with the RTC meeting. We give a few-minute break.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. Today is Wednesday, August 9th, 2017. We are in the Sierra Room at the Carson City Community Center. Kathy, can I have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Monkowski?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Smolinski?
Here.
Commissioner Bagwell?
Here.
Commissioner Kimbrough?
Here.
Commissioner Zentino?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Kathy. Item two on the agenda is the agenda management notice. The chair or the commission may take items on the agenda out of order, combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and or remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Item number three, disclosures. Any member of the RTC board may inform the chair of his or her intent to make a disclosure of a conflict of interest on any item appearing on the agenda. We will take those as we go through the agenda item by item. Item number four, public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to come up and address any item? I actually don't see any members. Oh, we have one member of the
Randy.
Public out there.
Randy's
and he's not walking up, so we will move on to item five, approval of the minutes. If the commissioners have had a chance to read the minutes, I would entertain a motion or questions.
I move to approve the minutes of July 12th for the RTC.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimously. We are now on to item, the public meeting items, item 6A for possible action to accept an award of a grant through the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division in the amount of $50,000 for the period July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2018, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign the quarterly request for funds. And Graham, I believe this is your item.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. A grant application was submitted to the Aging and Disability Services Division, ADSD, and was selected for award by ADSD. The amount of the award is $50,000, which is the amount that has been awarded to the RTC the last several years. The grant will be used to fund the free senior bus pass program, which provides unlimited free rides to seniors on Jack fixed route buses for the entire fiscal year. As a result, seniors have been averaging a combined total of over 70,000 trips annually, comprising over a third of total fixed route ridership. Approval of this item would also allow the transportation manager to sign the quarterly request for funds. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Graham, the 70,000 annual trips, approximately 70,000 annual trips, do you know how many individual riders that might be as opposed to aggregate?
Yes, we have about, it averages between 600 and 650 unique riders. So between them, they're averaging almost, you know, over about 10,000 or 1,000 a person. So
that's pretty amazing. And then I had a question, too, on the account number that the match comes from. It has the account number, but not the name of the account. Do you know what the account is?
I can't recall the name of the account off the top of my head.
Send it to me later.
Okay, yeah, I will do that. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, is there any public comment on this item? I see no public comment, so I'll bring this item back to the board and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to accept award of a grant through the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division in the amount of $50,000 for the period July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2018, and to authorize the transportation manager to sign the quarterly request for funds.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We are now on to item 6B for possible action to approve contract number 1718-046, South Carson Street Survey, to Loomis and Associates for a not-to-exceed amount of $87,590 to be funded from the RTC account. And I have a disclosure on this item. NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from participating when I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private capacity, I am a partner in the real estate brokerage firm NAI Alliance, Carson City. Loomis is a client of NAI. Because NAI's relationship with Loomis is a substantial and continuing business relationship, a reasonable person in my position would be materially affected by this relationship. Therefore, I have a disqualifying conflict, so I will not participate on this matter and will abstain from voting and pass the gavel to the vice chair.
Okay, and Dirk, are you going to be bringing this forward? Okay.
Thank you, sir. So this is a contract for professional services with Loomis, and the professional services will be to survey the South Carson Street corridor from Stewart Street all the way to the US 50 intersection. This is going to allow Carson City staff to start design on the South Carson Street Complete Streets project, which we are required to be under construction by 2019. I need note one or two changes. The board form notes that the account this contract is going to be funded out of the RTC account. That is incorrect. The correct account is actually the 8 cents infrastructure fund, which is the 8 cents sales tax. We've updated the contract documents to reflect the new account number, and the only change that we need to recommend is to the proposed motion. Towards the end, it talks about funded from the RTC account. The wording needs to be stricken and have infrastructure fund account in its place. Besides that, that concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dirk. Any comments or questions? Lori?
So just in general, when you select a vendor off of your list, is there a criteria? Did you ask all three of the vendors to give you a price to do it? How do you select off of your list?
Darren Schultz for the record. So every 2 years we do an on-call list of consultants for services that we anticipate we're going to need over that period. And so we shortlist consultants, generally two or three for each discipline that we're going after. And then our goal is over that period of 2 years is to alternate between the list of consultants that are on the list, with the caveat that depending if the project is unique and one of the consultants that are on the list has that unique special characteristic that makes it, you know, especially qualified to do that project, then we would lean towards that one. In this case, we felt that Loomis did have, although we have been alternating through the list for survey services, that is the right word. In this case, we did feel that Loomis had a little bit more that they could bring to the table, and the fact that they did the survey for the downtown Carson Street and the continuation of it to the south, there would be less time and money spent getting up to speed. It was a small advantage, but there was one slight nod towards Loomis in that case. So that's how we choose them. That's in general how we go down those lists.
And so that list for people to have the opportunity to get on it will open again in like January?
It will. We'll be putting out the RFP in late fall of this year, and then the new list will take effect in January, February of 2018 for 2 years.
I just like to let the public know I get a lot of questions from potential bidders and things. You know, everything, the list is closed, so I think it's important that they recognize it opens up every 2 years.
Yes, it does.
Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Yep.
Any other further comments, questions? Okay, then I will bring it to the commission for any public comment? I guess not. I'll bring it to.
I'll make the motion, and if I get those right, the fund right. I move to approve contract number 1718-046, South Carson Street Survey to Loomis and Associates for a not to exceed amount of $87,950 to be funded from the sales tax fund. Is that appropriate? Infrastructure fund.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain?
Abstention.
Did you get that, Kathy? And I will turn the gavel back over to the chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. We are now on to item 6C on the agenda for possible action to determine that Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1718-021, Carson City Pavement Preservation Microsurfacing Project for a base bid of $664,007 plus a 10% contingency amount of up to $66,400.70 for a total not to exceed amount of $730,407.70 to be funded from the RTC account as provided in the fiscal 18 budget. And Brian.
Thank you. Dirk Goring for the record. So this is a construction contract. As we've presented in the past, this is part of our 2018 fiscal year capital pavement preservation project. So this is for microsurfacing the city, some of the city's streets. Microsurfacing will be done on Edmonds and Snyder, West College, Fifth Street, Coons, Carson River, Medical Parkway, and Arrowhead. The bids came in under estimate, so we were really happy. This is actually the same company that got the contract award for the slurry seal. So actually, both the micro seal and the slurry seal are anticipated, if awarded, to begin September 11th. That concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring this back to the board and entertain a motion.
I got the big one.
I move to determine Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1718-021, Carson City Pavement Preservation Microsurfacing Project, for base bid of $664,007 plus a 10% contingency amount of up to $66,400.70 for a total not to exceed amount of $730,407.70 to be funded from the RTC account as provided in the fiscal year 18 budget.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. And we are now on to item 6D for possible action. To adopt a resolution authorizing the filing of an application for a Federal Transit Administration grant under 49 U.S.C. Chapter 53 and to authorize the RTC chair to sign the FTA fiscal year 2017 certifications and assurances section of the RTC application for 5310 funds. Graham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the announcement of the availability of the remainder of the federal fiscal year 2017 apportionment of 5310 grant funds, staff has prepared an application for possible submission to CAMPO and possible award. The 5310 grant program provides funding for public transportation projects intended to meet the needs of seniors and individuals with disabilities. Since the entire JAC fleet is ADA accessible, any funds awarded are planned for use as what is known as capitalized operating assistance. This will essentially provide the RTC with a better match than the standard operating funds. So I will also note that the applications for this and for the next agenda item would, after approval from the RTC, be presented to CAMPO, to the CAMPO board at the next meeting as part of the competitive selection process. Any applications received will be subject to award and funding by the CAMPO board. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Are there any questions from any of the commissioners? I don't see any. So if we approve this, then this application will be considered by the CAMPO board at the September meeting, along with any other applications that come in up to August 25th or through August 25th.
That is correct.
All right, is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring this back to the commission for a motion.
I move to adopt a resolution authorizing the filing of an application for the Federal Transit Administration grant under 49 U.S.C. Chapter 53 and to authorize the RTC chair to sign the FTA fiscal year 2017 certifications and assurances section of the RTC application for 5310 funds.
Kathy, we're going to include a resolution number.
Resolution number is 2017-RTC-R2.
Let the record show that resolution number incorporated into the motion with the agreement of the motion maker.
Yes.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Oh, Lori already seconded it. All right. So we have a motion and a second. We've incorporated the resolution number. I think all our T's are crossed, Mr. DA. Thank you. All right. Any final discussion? It was 2017-RTC-R2. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes 5-0. On to item 6E. We'll try to do this one a little more smoothly. For possible action to adopt a resolution authorizing the filing of an application for a Federal Transit Administration grant under 49 U.S.C. Chapter 53 and to authorize the RTC chair to find the sign the FTA fiscal year 2017 certifications and assurances section of the RTC application for 5339 funds. And the resolution number for this should be 2017-RTC-R3. Thank you.
So this item is very similar to the previous one, only this is a different federal funding program, this one being the Section 5339. And the 5339 grant program provides capital funding for buses and bus-related facilities. Any funds awarded as a result of this application will go toward the purchase of a fixed-route jack bus. We currently have an open contract with remaining options, so a new bus could potentially be ordered immediately after award, which would again be awarded through CAMPO. And the purchase price of such a vehicle is about $320,000. So even if the RTC received the full $43,154 requested with this application, additional funding sources would be required for the purchase. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Grim, how much did we receive in the first 5/12? And could that be also applied towards the same bus purchase?
Yes, it was the first 7/12 is what we received.
This is the final 5/12?
Correct, okay. Yes. And it was about $54,000 what we received the first time around. And we actually have a bus on order right now scheduled for delivery next month. And just depending on how the various funding pots that we have are flowing, we might use that previous 7/12 towards the bus that's about to be delivered or towards the one that we'd be ordering.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring this back to the commission for a motion.
I move to adopt Resolution 2017-RTC-R3 authorizing the filing of an application for a Federal Transit Administration grant under 49 U.S.C. Chapter 53 and to authorize the RTC chair to sign the FTA fiscal year 2017 certifications and assurances section of the RTC application for 5339 funds.
It's a mouthful. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes 5-0. We are now on to item 7 on the agenda, internal communications and administrative matters, non-action items, 7A, B, and C, starting with 7A, street operations activity report. Who will be handling this? Is that you, Darren?
This one.
Sure, I can handle it.
It was a question. It wasn't a statement.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dirk might have something to highlight here. If you have any questions, I certainly can help with adding them, but I don't have any highlights to.
Two things to highlight is that our street crews are wrapping up the crack sealing in anticipation for the micro seal and the slurry seals. Our crews have also been working really hard to do some patching on West College in anticipation of those preservation.
So since this one is the June 2017 report, is there a way that the items that are the number driven, that we could see it annualized? So I could maybe see we used, I don't know, 7,000 blocks used. I'd like to see what it looks like as an annualized number. I think it would show the public all the hard work that Public Works puts together when you look at it in the totality versus a month.
So. We absolutely can do that.
Thank you.
When you see the number of cubic yards of waste hauled off, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Are there any questions from any of the commissioners on the street operations activity report? All right, let's move on to 7B.
So moving ahead on all the projects, the blue line ADA sidewalk improvement, we are still wrapping up a few of the punch list items. Carson City Freeway multi-use path, we are hopefully going to have a construction contract in September. So the project is out for bid, which is really exciting. Sierra Vista Lane, staff did receive 95% design plans. We're working on comments to pass on to the designer. We are also continue to work with BIA on the appraisal. We've hired an appraisal and moving forward. We've received for the Silver Stage Drive construction reconstruction project.
Let's go back to Sierra Vista just to clarify on this, just to bring the board up to speed or the commission up to speed. Can you go through the request for just compensation and what, which was what implemented the need for an appraisal?
So as part of the right of way application. Staff was required to go out and seek an appraisal. So we've hired one, and we expect to hear something in the next few weeks. Since one of the property allotment owners requested just compensation, the city is going to be required to pay just compensation to that owner. Other allotment owners can come forward and request just compensation. Once the right-of-way application is approved by BIA, that will kind of end when an allotment owner can request just compensation.
I would expect that if allotment owners are aware that they can request compensation, which is public now, and they will be notified by letter that they can do this, that they will ask for compensation, and then we will have to figure out where that money is going to come from.
Correct. Staff is anticipating that, and we are working with finance to get all the money issues squared away.
How many potential allotment owners are there?
There's 12.
12? Okay.
Fortunately, it's a minimal amount of property. Any additional questions on that item? All right. Thank you, Dirk. Go ahead and continue.
Thank you. Silver Sage Drive Reconstruction Project. We received notice to proceed, so we're working, we're designing right now. Micro seals, as I noted earlier, September 11th is the date. That date also applies to the slurry seals. And we will put all this information in the road report when the time comes. Long line striping project has been is complete.
And Dirk, on the long line striping, can you briefly go over what's going to happen to the streets that are being micro sealed or slurry sealed that may be affected by the long line striping that was already done?
So. Long line striping was done on some of the roads that we are planning on micro-surfacing and slurry sealing. And some of the issue kind of came up with timing and getting one contract ready, and then also It just more had to do with timing issues. And so, unfortunately, we had to – some of the roads got striped that are going to be – that are going to have a slurry seal or a micro seal. There are a few of them. And once they get a micro seal or a slurry seal, then we will restripe them.
Thank you.
Community development block grant that relates to repairing or taking sidewalk curbs on North Carson Street up to ADA, where you are in design. And we've had a conversation with Fish, and so they're on board with what we're doing at this time. Battery backup improvements we are currently installing. South Carson Street bicycle and pedestrian improvements. This is the TAP grant that we received. We're moving forward with the survey, so that's going to let us move into design. For the Carson City Freeway multi-use path from the linear ditch down to Colorado Street, we are hoping to have an agreement with NDOT at the September RTC meeting. That concludes my comments.
Any questions on any of those items? Seeing none, let's move on to 7C, future agenda items.
For September, we are hoping to have an ADA policy that relates to paratransit in front of you. We will hopefully have the agreement with NDOT for the path from the linear ditch to Colorado. We also are hoping to have approval to go after two recreational trail grants. So we can provide more details on that in September. Construction contract for airport and the shared use path from US 50 down to 5th Street. We are hoping to have a construction contract. And then we will also have an item that relates to the Tyler Transportation District and kind of appointing an alternate. That concludes my comments.
Anybody else have any future agenda items? I would just note at this time that we have hired a new transportation manager, Lucia Mahoney, and she would have been here tonight, but she had a previous obligation prior to us hiring her away. So she will be here at our next meeting in September. Unfortunately, I won't be at that meeting. So we are now on to item 8 on the agenda, board comments. Are there any reports or comments from any members of the commission? I'm seeing 4 shaking heads. Okay. We are now on to the final public comment. Mr. Guy, you are here all night. No public comment. All right. Any other member of the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, our next meeting is tentatively scheduled for 4:30 p.m. Wednesday, September 13th, 2017, in this room, the Sierra Room, right after the Campo meeting ends. And finally, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you all for attending.